Amendment time. Let's talk about these amendments. We're gonna maybe do them in order. I'm not gonna get to more than two today, I would think. One and two is my goal for the day. But you know, people have been asking me, are you gonna talk about these amendments? Well, yeah. It's always a question of when. Because, you know, do you do it right before the election? Well, what if everybody's voted early voting or mail-in voting? Crap. You do it early? Well, you know, nobody remembers what you said a month ago. It's a hard thing to solve, okay? So, Florida Amendment 1, Partisan School Board Elections Amendment. This is actually a very straightforward amendment. Of all the amendments on the ballot, this is actually the easiest one to understand. All it means is candidates would have an R or a D behind their name, or an NPA behind their name. For school board. You know, right now, school board is no party affiliation, right? So you don't really know whether Patty Hightower or Carissa Bergosh or, you know, Bill Slayton are Republicans or Democrats or Kevin Adams or anybody. You know, you don't know whether Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians or Green Party or Constitutional Party or whatever. You don't know. This would make it so that they would be partisan elections starting in 2026. So 2 years from now, they would have to be, or, well, they could be no party affiliation, but you would have primaries like you have now, you know, for other offices, and they'd be Republicans or Democrats, and it'd be that simple. Now, before we get into the pros and cons, and feel free to weigh in, 437-1620, 437-1620, this, as any amendment, takes 60% to pass. So 60% plus a vote will pass in the state of Florida and make this happen, make this change. And we used to be this way. We used to have partisan school board elections until 1998 when we passed Amendment 11 that made us nonpartisan as we are now. So we have been this way for 26 years, or I guess it'd be 28 years once this takes place. And that was first put in first proposed by the Florida Constitution Revision Commission, or the CRC. So the question is, should we or shouldn't we? And we'll get into that. But 437-1620, feel free to text me whether you think school boards should be partisan Republicans or Democrats or should stay like it is. You just don't know. Before we even talk about the merits of any of these things, it's important for me to say this. My default vote on any constitutional amendment is always no. Unless it's to remove a prior law, in which case I don't have as strong of a default. But generally speaking, I vote no on constitutional amendments. You've got to really persuade me it's a good idea. Like 75% confidence. Because a lot of times what happens is you'll get a proposal for a ballot initiative and you think, man, I'm like 55% sure this is good and I have like 45% uncertainty. Vote no. Because you don't want to put a maybe in the Constitution. It's that simple. You should always vote no on constitutional amendments unless you are really, really sure it's a good idea. So if you're at all uncertain about it, then vote no. Make a better amendment in the future, because once it's in the Constitution, it is almost impossible to get rid of it. Actually, this one is one that is trying to undo a prior constitutional amendment and is going to have to get 60% plus one in order to undo the prior one. So you shouldn't tinker with the Constitution of Florida unless you really, really have to. So that's my default setting. Now, on this one in particular, I'm in favor, but I'm not 100% in favor. And I'll tell you, there are four states, Alabama, Connecticut, Louisiana, that have partisan school board elections. Five states, Rhode Island, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, do it like depending on the district. So it's variable. Okay, so that's nine states that have it. 41 states, including us, nonpartisan. So by far the preferred position across the country is nonpartisan. So you say, well, why would you want to change that? Well, couple of reasons. I like what Spencer Roach, who's a state representative for District 76 here in Florida, said, is if people really want to vote for nonpartisan candidates, which is part of the appeal of having our current system, well, right now you don't know whether you're getting a nonpartisan candidate. You know, the theory is that nonpartisan is the same as being moderate or neutral or middle of the road or a compromise between the R and the D, or the left and the right, or the conservative and the liberal, right? That's the theory, is nonpartisan makes you fair or neutral somehow. No, nonpartisan just means that we don't know whether you're a conservative or a liberal. We don't know whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an anarchist or a libertarian or a fascist. We don't know, because there's nothing behind your name. We have to figure it out by talking with you. And so the argument in favor of this would be something like, hey, if there's R's and D's, there can also be NPAs. And at least under that situation, you'd know that somebody's actually kind of a moderate because it'd be an NPA. R's are going to be R's and D's are going to be D's, but the NPAs would be your moderates. You'd really know. Okay, so that's one argument in favor. Another argument in favor, and I'll give you the cons in a minute, 437-1620 if you want to weigh in on this. One of the arguments in favor of this is school board members are already partisans. They just don't say it. And so this is transparency. This is clarity of information. Look, Kevin Adams, not to pick on him particularly, but he is a Republican. Everybody knows he's a Republican. It's obvious when you've listened to him for 10 minutes, you know he's a Republican, okay? But he's not elected as a Republican, right? So why not? For voter information and also for the fact that they already are, why not make that clear? Now you say, well, if you can listen to him for 10 minutes and know he's a Republican, why does it need to have an R behind his name? Because some are harder to tell. He's an easy case. He's an obvious case. And so others are harder to tell, and this would at least give you better information. We're talking about Amendment Number 1, and this amendment it's on your ballot, will make school board races partisan. So you'll have people running with an R or a D or an NPA or an L for Libertarian behind their name, whereas right now they have nothing behind their name. Again, 41 states do it the way we do it. 9 states do it with partisanship or some kind of partisanship in some counties. Arguments against this are that, for example, the schools are supposed to be neutral. The schools are supposed to be moderate. The schools are supposed to serve all the children. They're supposed to not take sides on a lot of these controversial issues. Carmen Ward, the president of the Alachua County Education Association, I do not think there's any place for partisan politics in our public education system. We should be fully focused on what's best for students. I feel like public education is under attack, and part of the attack is sowing the seeds of division. I think this is part of the culture war strategy that's being perpetrated on classrooms, on educators, and public school systems by our leadership. Right? The division, rancor, extremism. If you have R's and D's, then the R's will be fighting with the R's to be more R than anybody else, and then you get some of the problems we have with extreme candidates, and you know, you'd actually have people saying things like, I'm for Trump, put me on the school board, you know, or whatever, like some nonsense like that. I recognize the concern, and I share the concern. However, there's a premise problem here, and the premise problem is that our schools can or should be somehow neutral or moderate. I don't want our schools being highly political if we can avoid it, but I think schools already are highly political. Schools are one of the most controversial things in society, precisely because you have public money, taxes, compulsory public money, going to pay to teach children things that the state thinks they ought to be taught. And so you have all kinds of really big issues played out there, like, do you teach creation or do you teach evolution or some blend of bothism? Do you teach Christianity? Do you teach Buddhism? Do you teach atheism? Or do you teach none of the above? And by the way, teaching none of the above is also a teaching, because when you pretend like God doesn't exist for 8 hours a day, kids get the message. Do you have sex ed or not have sex ed? Do you teach people to use contraception and be careful and prevent babies and diseases when they have sex as minors? Or do you teach them they shouldn't be having sex as minors? Do you allow for gay students? Do you not allow for gay students? Do you teach inclusivity? Do you teach non-inclusivity? Do you teach racism or anti-racism? Do you teach that? Yeah, I mean, there are. Do you have books like Entangle Makes Three in the school library? Education is a, I don't want to overstate this, it is a fundamentally political domain, because ethics, religion, children, parenting authority, public funds, all mix together and create all these controversies. You can't avoid it. Now, in a world where you have a lot of consistency among the members of the society, you know, if 80% of the people believe that, let's say, Christianity is right, and people should wait until they're married, and, you know, heterosexuality is the only sexuality, pick your issue, cross the board. It's pretty easy to do a public school because everybody kind of agrees. And the parties, Republican and Democrat, agree. And there used to be a time when they kind of agreed about these things, so it wasn't that controversial. Because the parties and the people that are reflected in the parties now disagree so fundamentally about so many of these issues, of course the schools are a point of conflict. Because the schools have to pick sides on a lot of this stuff. And many times, not picking a side is still picking a side. Okay, so back to the issue of partisanship. They're already highly partisan. The decisions they make, the members, the issues. Look, the culture wars are in the schools. So many of these flashpoint, difficult, challenging topics affect school, even school safety. Guns in schools, no guns in schools. SROs in schools, no SROs in schools. Metal detectors, no metal detectors, right? All of this stuff. And Republicans and Democrats have very different ways of approaching these questions. Therefore, if you're going to elect somebody to be your delegated representative on the school board, you have every right to know what position they take on these things. And the best shorthand for what the position they take on these things is the R or the D behind their name. Okay? So that's the response. It would be nicer if we could have a world where the schools weren't political, where the schools weren't divided, where the school policies were more, you know, homogenous and everybody agreed about what they should be. We don't have that world. We don't have that luxury. We have this world with these real situations. And you basically have the problem of you don't know who you're voting for on a lot of these issues because you don't know what their identification of the party is. That's my argument for. Okay. And also because I just think it's silly to think that schools are some beautiful, neutral, you know, apolitical domain. There's no such thing. I don't think it's really ever been that way, but it's especially not that way today. Not because we're infusing schools with these political issues, but because the political issues are what they are and produce the conflicts that play out in schools because it's our kids, our money, all being taught the same way, all of that stuff. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says, I would like to know the party affiliation of anyone I'm voting for who may be making decisions on my behalf. Agreed. I'm only in favor of this particular amendment because I don't want people harming my children. They use different words. Teaching them transgenderism and transsexuality in the schools. Political party is the box you check. All elected positions should be based on their ideas and values, not what box they checked on their voter registration. I've been a Republican since 85, but I'm not a Trump Republican. And by the way, that is an argument against, too, is that the R or the D can be misleading. But we've kind of accepted that the R or the D is the shorthand we want. It's not a great system. Oh, and by the way, the availability of like third parties, which I'm all in favor of, and you heard me many times talk about instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting. I'm all in favor of that. I am. This, to me, is just a matter of sort of voter transparency, and because these are the issues that are really playing out in our schools. Somebody says, showing party affiliation simply gives more information about the potential board members. People will be partisan either way. Additional transparency can only help for reform. So, yeah, I'm a yes on this one. I'd say I'm about a 90% yes on this one. And again, my threshold personally is I got to be above 75% yes, you know, with very few concerns in order to believe that something is worth voting for.